Mentioned a moment ago, I want to use just one little phrase from this verse, and then I want to take you to four other places in the Bible where the same phrase is used. And that phrase is the first phrase in verse 15, where the Bible says, "This is a faithful saying." This is a faithful saying. Of course, the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest men, I think, in the Bible. And what he's saying, and I'll tell you about, just remind you of who he says these five sayings to in just a minute. But what he's saying to the two young men that he's writing to is, listen to me. I want you to set up. I want you to pay attention, because what I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. What I'm about to tell you, there's no part of it that is in error. It is completely true. It is wholly true. If there's such a thing as absolute truth, and there is, what Paul would say, what I'm about to tell you is absolute truth. This is a faithful saying. It's a saying you can bank on. It's a saying you can build your life on. You can trust it. You can use it in every area of life. And again, Paul uses these words, this is a faithful or this is a true saying, five times in the part of the Bible that he wrote. And they are all in three books. There's three of them in 1 Timothy, there's one of them in 2 Timothy, and there's one of them in Titus. And I would remind you that these three books were written to two special young men in Paul's life. Of course, 1 and 2 Timothy were written to a young man named Timothy for short, who Paul met on his second missionary journey. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him." In other words, while he was on this journey, Paul met this young man named Tim, put it in our language, and he said, "Hey, I've heard a lot about you. You're well spoken of. Your faithfulness and your service to others is spoken of, and I've seen it myself. I'd like you to go with me. I'd like you to become my helper." And Timothy did that. He became Paul's helper. He became Paul's servant, and he grew to become a beloved son of Paul in the gospel. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." And the books of 1 and 2 Timothy are instructions that Paul has written to this young man and to help him in his duties as a pastor, to help him in his duties taking care of the church. 1 Timothy was written when Timothy was left in charge of the church at Ephesus. And then 2 Timothy was, and again, Paul started the church in Ephesus, and then he had to leave, and after he'd gone for a while, he wrote 1 Timothy back as an encouragement and additional instruction to him. And then 2 Timothy, many Bible scholars believe that that's the last book that Paul wrote before he died. And we're not, again, nobody's sure about how Hebrews fits in there. Don't know who wrote it. But 2 Timothy was probably the last book that Paul wrote before he died. And again, it was an encouragement to Timothy to remain faithful in his office of a pastor. And then, of course, Titus, again, was a Gentile. Galatians 2:3, "Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, saved under Paul's ministry." Titus 1:4, "Titus, my own son, after the common faith, also a helper of Paul." Also sort of a preacher boy of Paul, also somebody that traveled with Paul, also somebody that was trained by Paul. It was Titus that took the book of 2 Corinthians to Corinth that after Paul wrote it, and it was Titus that was left in Crete to oversee the church. And so I tell you all that about these two guys just to remind you that Paul wasn't writing to just to strangers. He wasn't just writing to somebody in general. When he used this phrase, "This is a faithful saying," he was writing to two of his sons in the gospel, two of his helpers in the gospel, two of his preacher boys in the gospel, and he was saying, "Now look, guys, I'm gonna tell you something that's absolutely true. Pay attention to it. And put it into use. Use it in your lives. Use it in your ministries, because you can bank on the truth that I am about to tell you." And so tonight I want you to keep your Bibles open. I'm going to direct you to these five places. Again, the first one is right here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul had warned in other places, and he said, there are going to be people that come in to the church, and they are going to try to mislead you. There are going to be people that come into the church and try to tell you that there is another way to get right with God other than Jesus Christ. They're going to try to tell you that there's another way to get to heaven other than coming through Jesus Christ. And what Paul wanted to establish, and he said, look, there is no, I have no doubt in this. There is not one bit of error in this. This is 110% true. You can bank your eternity on it. The only way that you can get right with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. It's not joining the church. And I know we talked about this morning, so I promise not to stay too long on this point. But it's not the church. It's not baptism. It's not living a good life. It's not coming from a good heritage. There is neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he left no room for anything else. He is the exclusive, the one and only way to get right with God and to get to heaven. I like that song that we sing. People make fun of me because I say Warsh with an R. That's a hillbilly pronunciation. I didn't even know I was a hillbilly till somebody told me. But what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Paul said to these two preacher boys, he said, you mark it down. You preach it the rest of your life. He told Timothy, don't waver from it. Don't sway in the wind. You stand on that same spot and you proclaim as loud as you can that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And he said, don't change, because that's the truth. There is no other way to heaven. And I pity people, and I am scared for preachers that try to tell their people that there's some other way to get to heaven. And I pity people that don't go to a church that remind them how it is we get right with God. And again, I'm so glad that we have a church that's what it's built on, the blood of Jesus Christ, not our righteousness, His. Not our well-doing, His. Not our, not anything that we can do, but what He did and finished on Calvary's cross. It's a faithful saying. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Number two, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. Same word. Faithful, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. See, I think in Paul's day, they had the same problem that we've had in our day. They had preachers that went bad. And maybe there were moms and dads back in Paul's day telling their sons, hey, you be a doctor. You be a banker. You be a businessman. I don't care what you are, but you pick anything you want to be, but don't be a preacher. Don't be a preacher. And maybe there were people advising Timothy and Titus. Maybe there were people saying, look, you're talented and you're smart and you can do anything you want. Do anything you want, but don't be a preacher. I can remember when I surrendered to preach. I thought for a while that God was calling for me to, I was in my second year of GMI, and I thought God was calling me for a while to quit GMI and go to a college, Bible college down in Mississippi. Now, the fact that Debbie was only living 30 miles from there, when we weren't married yet, she was living 30 miles from there, my dad thought that that was clouding my judgment. I said, no, Dad, I think it's of God. He said, oh, no, I think you should stay in GMI. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll write a letter to somebody. Who do you want me to write a letter to? And so I wrote a letter to the head of the Sunday school board. I said, I told my situation. I started this first year in this business college. I've been called to preach. And what do you think I should do? You wouldn't believe it. I wish I still had the letter. It burned up in our house fire. He came back and he said, I think you should quit your college you're going to. I think you should go to William Carey College in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. That's exactly the college that I wanted to go to. Debbie lived about 20 miles away. He said, and after that, I think you ought to go to seminary at New Orleans Seminary. I opened that letter. A big smile came on my face. I went into my dad and I said, see there? It is of God. So I called Debbie's dad on the phone. He was my pastor for a while. I said, what do you think I should do? And you've heard this story before. He said, I think you ought to stay in GMI. I don't know if he and my dad got together and conspired against the will of God or what, but I stayed in GMI. And of course, I probably wouldn't be here today if I hadn't. And maybe some of you might wish that I'd followed what I thought was God's will instead of what really was God's will. But I stayed in GMI, and most of you know my story. But I thank God for faithful pastors. I've had 5 pastors in my life. Since I was a baby, I was in church, and I've had 5 men that I've called pastors in my life. There was Brother Oakley, Brother Baskin, Debbie's dad, and Brother Coulter, Brother Roberts, and then Brother Vella. And I'm glad that all 5 of those men, they stayed true to God. They stayed true to God. Didn't waver. Preached the gospel. Told people how, based on the Bible, how God wanted them to live their lives. One of the things that keeps me straight and keeps me from wandering into things that I shouldn't wander into is, first of all, I don't want to disappoint my God. Second of all, I don't want to disappoint my parents. And third of all, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to disappoint you. And I think that it would be wise for moms and dads and grandpas that have grandsons and sons, if God so calls those sons to be preachers and pastors, to come back to this verse that Paul wrote to these 2 young preacher boys and say, if a man desire the office of a bishop, a pastor, he desireth a good thing. He desireth a good thing. Number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. chapter 4, verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What is it? Well, you got to go back up to verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, all those that are in the fitness, don't misinterpret this verse. I don't want you to go home and talk to your spouse and say, see there, get off of me about exercising. The preacher read a verse from the Bible tonight that says, bodily exercise profiteth little. And again, Paul's just making a comparison, okay? He's making a comparison. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And that is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, what Paul's saying is that verse is, what he's saying in that verse is, that God wants us to live holy life. He wants us to be set apart from this world. He wants us to be different. I'm sure there was a whole group of people back in their day, just like there is in our day, saying, oh no, don't be different. Don't be peculiar. Don't set yourself apart. I mean, you know, you're not, people think you're a cult. People think you're a bunch of crazy people. And just sort of blend in. Just sort of, you know, don't make any waves. Just go along with everything the world has to say. And Paul said to his two preacher boys, as he says to all of us, no. That's not what God wants you to do. God doesn't want you to blend in. He wants you to be peculiar. He wants you to stand out. He wants you to be different. And by the way, I'll just tell you, I think that's what the world wants for us to be too. The world doesn't want a religion and a Christianity that goes along with everything the world says is right. The world wants something, and sinners want something and somebody that'll say, look, it doesn't have to be this way. It can be different. God can make a difference in your life. Just give them a chance. Just put them to the test. I got to talk to one of our visitors this morning after the service for just a few minutes, and she's searching. She's looking for God. She's looking for peace in her life, and she studied so many different kinds of religion. She's all confused, and she says, I told her about Jesus, and she said, well, how do I know that he's the right one? How do I know that he's right and you're right and this book is right as opposed to what the church down the street says or the church that around the corner says? I said, well, that's where faith comes in. I quoted those verses to her from the book of Romans. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I said, have you read the Bible? She said, which one? I said, well, this one right here. That's the only one there is. She didn't like that very much, but I said, this one right here. And I said, you're never going to have faith until you get into the book. And so she didn't receive Christ this morning, but here's what she agreed to do. She said, hey, I'll read the New Testament and I'll come to church for the next 4 weeks. And I'll come with an open mind, asking the Holy Spirit to show me who's God. And who's right? I said, good, that's a start. That's a start. Because faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, getting back. God wants us to be a holy people. He wants us to be a different people. That's what the world is looking for. The world is looking for Christians whose Christianity works. Whose Christianity makes a difference in life. The only reason that girl was here this morning is because she's best friends with somebody that has told her, God is in every part of my life and he makes it work. Her friend told her, she says, they've been friends since they were in the fourth grade and they're in their 20s, late 20s now. Her friend told her, I have prayed for you every day of my life since we've become friends. I told this girl, that'd be enough for me. That'd be enough for me. Somebody's prayed for me every day of my life since I was in the fourth grade. That'd be enough for me. I mean, they're best friends. God wants us to have a Christianity that works, that sets us apart from the world. Number four, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. I think there's two meanings that this verse had. First of all, is their physical meaning. If I die, I'm going to go live with Jesus. I don't believe there's some place I'm going to go sleep till he comes back. I don't think I'm going to stay in the grave. I think to be absent with the from the body is to be present with the Lord. I think it happens in an instant, and I'm glad it does. I'm glad it does. Now, there's another meaning, I think. I think it's another meaning is that if I die to my desires, I can live in his. In other words, if I put aside my own will and I die to what I want, then I can live in his. And the truth is, living in his desires are a whole lot more enjoyable than living in ours. Amen. And so he said, Paul's saying, this is true, Timothy. This is true, Titus. Just if we die in him, we can live in him. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life more abundant. And we get that abundant life when we die to our own will. Then number five, Titus, the next book in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things that I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Fifth time Paul's used this phrase. This is a faithful saying. And he says to Titus, to Timothy, I want you to affirm this constantly. Constantly, I want you to keep coming back to this truth. That those that have believed in God, that's us, folks, that those of us that have believed in God, that have put their trust in Jesus Christ, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. What Paul's saying, we find it other places in the Bible. We were saved. We were created in Christ Jesus, as he said. Paul said in the book of Ephesians. Boy, I tell you, I've taken so much medicine, I hope I am not embarrassing myself. Some of you folks are going to have to tell me. As it says in the book of Ephesians, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And Paul said, be careful to maintain them. Be careful to maintain them. Never quit. Never quit. Find somebody that has a need, meet that need. That's a good work. It says in the book of Matthew, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not to glorify you, but that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's our good works that point people to God and to point people to Jesus Christ. I was going to read some from the book of James, but I won't because we're out of time. But just remind you, in James chapter 2, James says this, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Let's have faith, but let's also have good works. This is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He wants us to be godly. live separate, peculiar lives. He wants us to die to self and live in Him. And He wants us to practice good works. And then He wants to remind us, if a young man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for these truths. Thank You for the one who You use to write them. Thank You for his testimony. Thank You for his faithfulness. I pray, Father, that all of us could say, like the Apostle Paul, when we get to the end of our lives, I've finished my course. I've run the race. I've fought the good fight. Thank You for giving us an example like that. Father, I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would understand that Christ did come into the world to save sinners. Tonight, He's their only hope. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No other way to the Father but through Him. And I pray, Father, tonight would be the night they decide for Jesus. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to understand that You do want us to live holy, that You do want us to be peculiar, that You do want us to...